Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:27, and that's Pacific Standard Time, on February 15th. Well, today's President's Day in the USA, so the US stock market is shut, but the futures markets are open. So last Friday, we could see that the Nikkei was rallying up about 3% in the futures market before the market opened this morning. And it finished up on the day 7.16%, which is a resounding upward dynamic. And that's particularly following what had been an accelerated decline. And that's particularly the case with the banking sector, which had been just in free fall in the aftermath of the Bank of Japan introducing a negative deposit rate at the discount window. But this was a pretty impressive upward dynamic for the banks as well in here today. And it suggests that at least a short-term low has been found and that the prospect of a mean reversionary rally has increased. And additional upside follow-through tomorrow would certainly help with that. Now, the US is closed, but the futures markets are open. So the majority of indices in Europe today were up in excess of 2%, and then there were a number that were up in excess of 3%. And perhaps the one to keep to be most aware of is Italy, because that had been the one that had fallen so sharply, and particularly because its banking sector. I mean, Italy has got a bloated banking sector relative to just about any other country in Europe, where every little individual town and city has got its own individual bank. And a number of them are listed. It's not quite the same in Germany, where, for example, the Landesbanks used to be listed, but now they've all been nationalized. So we don't have the same degree of see-through into the German banking sector that we do in Italy, because so many of those banks are listed companies. They've taken a toll on the Italian stock market, and they bounced in here today, along with just about everything else. And it just goes to show us that there are deep oversold conditions evident right across a number of markets, and that we're getting at least some unwind of that oversold condition. Now, that has also taken place because the yen today was weaker by 1.3 yen. It was as well, the dollar was as high as 114.73, and it closed out pretty close to that intraday strength. And I've referred to the yen as a barometer for risk, because the Bank of Japan has engaged in such a concerted effort to devalue the currency that it has been the carry trade currency of choice for leveraged investors. So then the relative strength of the yen and its emphatic rally over the last month has been really more a factor of unwinding of carry trades rather than any particular strength in the Japanese economy or particular strength in the yen. And in fact, the Bank of Japan has been unwavering that they want a weaker currency. So now that some of the buying pressure for the yen has been at least temporarily exhausted, we can expect them to start selling again and to really start to push lower. That should help to drive an additional rally in oversold markets, not least in Japan, but elsewhere as well. Then you'll have to look at the what's going to happen with the US tomorrow. And so far, it looks like we're going to have an additional rally in here. Well, then you look at the bond markets, where you've had an accelerated advance in terms of the futures, and then very large overbought conditions in the short term, and there's ample potential for an unwind of those positions right now. Well, gold today, because of the dollar strength and because it had been rallying on a fear trade, pulled back, and it was down about $28, down to $1,209. Well, then looking at it in terms of just having a little bit of perspective, this has been an emphatic breakout, and it has broken the medium-term progression of lower rally highs. So that's an important development. Then short term, is it overbought? Absolutely. So there's an increasing potential that we are going to have some consolidation of those gains, and that in an ideal scenario from a bullish perspective, then gold would pull back and find support above or in the region of the 200-day moving average, and then begin to recover. Now, if it can achieve that, and we won't have any evidence of that until we see a clear upward dynamic, then that would help to illustrate that bullish demand for gold is more than a short-term phenomenon, and that it is actually that we've seen a medium-term low in the gold price. Well, then we've had a very impressive rally in terms of gold shares, because for the first time in almost a decade, they're now exhibiting a high beta play on the gold price. And the part of the reason for that is because they're no longer investing all of their free cash flow in expanding their operations. They've fired a lot of people. They've gone through an incredibly painful process of rationalization, and they've come out the other end, finally offering leverage to the gold price, which was something that they couldn't do previously. And that was one of the reasons for the success of the gold ETFs, was that they offered a one-for-one comparison to what was happening in the gold price, and gold shares couldn't do that. But that's now different, and this is something that's a medium-term, potentially important bullish factor for gold shares. So they are overbought in the short term, and they are likely that they're going to experience a pullback. Then the real test is going to be whether they can find support at progressively higher levels. That will really help to copper fasten the argument that a low beyond the short term has been found, and that the range that persisted in the Gold Bugs Index for much of last year was in fact a base rather than just another distribution. Then when we look at just more broadly, gold shares have been the best performing sector on the S&P 500 this year so far. And of course, there's only one share in there, and that's Newmont Mining, but it's up 43% this year. And the closest, I think, sector or subsector of the S&P to that is only up about 7%. So this has been really an emphatic move in terms of gold shares more generally. Then, when we look at the stock market, the underperformance of the banking sector is something that we simply cannot ignore, not least because banks represent significant weightings in a number of countries. That's not the case, for example, anymore in Europe or in the US, because those banks have gone through an incredibly painful credit crisis recession. But banks are liquidity providers, and their ability to be liquidity providers is being inhibited by regulations. Because of Basel III, they have had to hold on to more reserves. And because of various regulations brought out in the aftermath of the credit crisis, they're no longer able to act as market makers, particularly for fixed income. So we're getting an environment where the fixed income markets are becoming progressively less liquid. That helps to explain why we're getting some of these credit spreads widening out, because the markets are less liquid. Then, on top of all of that, because of commodity prices having declined so abruptly, then that's putting pressure on a number of sovereign wealth funds. And, of course, sovereign wealth funds have expanded incredibly over the last decade because oil prices have been so high. And now we're getting some forced liquidations with sovereign wealth funds selling, and that has contributed to the contagion effect that we've had on stock markets. That has been one of the factors for why the yen had rallied so much. It's because when sovereign wealth funds sell, they don't generally sell in an incremental fashion, but rather they sell the whole lot. And that contributes to contagion, because when people see one asset falling, they sell something that they have a profit in, then that contributes to that thing going down, and then people sell something else that they have a profit in to cover their loss in something that has just started to go down, and then the contagion spreads. So from a non-emotional background, we can look at this commonality and say, do we have evidence that there really is a global recession here? And we can say that, yes, there are issues out there, but is there evidence of a global recession? Absolutely not. Then we've had some commodity producers getting into a lot of trouble, and they've had a disorderly effect on markets in the short term. that could help to drive an additional rally here. And then the ability of markets to find support above their lows would be the defining characteristic of a medium-term low. And we do have overhead top formation characteristics. So there aren't any really big questions being asked just yet. What we really need to see is a short covering rally that rolls over and finds support at progressively higher levels and eventually pushes back above the 200-day moving average. Then we'd have evidence that these medium-term tops and medium-term corrective phase has run its course. And in the meantime, anyone who's had is likely to have their short positions stopped out because of short covering rallies in the next week or two are probably likely to wait until they see that mean reversionary rally before they start to initiate those shorts once more. So we have to look at the market from both sides, and then that would suggest that it really is the proof of the bullish scenario isn't the extent to which a market can bounce, but rather how well it can find support when it eventually pulls back. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, except that we've had incredible weakness in oil prices, and WTI was a little bit stronger in here today, and Brent crude may well be putting in a higher reaction low right now. So while we don't yet have evidence that stock markets can put in a higher reaction low, maybe oil is doing it right now. And oil is perhaps the most unloved of commodities at the present time. And then maybe enough of the bad news has been priced in. Yes, there is plenty of supply. And as I've said on a number of occasions, it isn't really a question of how low will oil go, but rather how much can it rally in once the short covering has given way, and then we get back to an economic environment for some of the unconventional supply to come back into the market. And but because we're at such incredibly low levels, if this is a medium-term low for oil prices, regardless of how high they go, then this is an enormously oversold sector. Now, I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.